Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, we got another edition of Sue's News, the fifth edition without Sue, coming up here this afternoon because she's out until tomorrow. And I have to do this on the fly. I didn't want to do this on the fly, but you guys have arranged this amazing audio system for me this afternoon. The problem is it's on the same screen where I clicked the Sue's News intro, so you're going to have to guide me through that. The host typically wouldn't want to explain this or ask these questions on the air, but he didn't know what else he could do. So I'm just going to say it that way. Andrew's working on it. All right. And I want him to listen to this because I think this is also a really good story. And Andrew was pushing back on that a little bit in the last hour. So here's the story from the Wall Street Journal. Fred, I don't know if I told you about this. For many video game enthusiasts, the console shortage. Who plays video games? Andrew, you probably do, right?
Yep.
Okay. Dave?
I used to.
And now you're kids.
Before kids,
right?
Yeah.
Fred and I don't play video games. No. We don't play video games. So there was a shortage last year, Fred, and it's been a major drag. But for high schooler junior Max Hayden, this kid's 16 years old, he's bought and resold dozens of the newest PlayStations, Xbox machines for as much as $1,100. Now, these cost $500. So he's out there buying them and then flipping them. He made a profit of $110,000. That's not the impressive figure. That's a fair amount of money. It's six figures, right? $1.7 million in revenue. The Wall Street Journal looked at his sales records, and he thinks he's going to do better this year. So we know that last year we talked about ketchup, aluminum cans, hot dubs, all these things were delaying, you know, deliveries, shipments, things along those lines. Industries were affected, you know, across the nation, frustrating consumers. But now the reseller community has become its own sub-industry. Now, Andrew, you think this is not a good thing because people are taking advantage of folks during a pandemic, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty scummy. Now, obviously, video games are not as scummy of a thing to do as you would see with toilet paper and, you know, food and, you know, things that people need to live. But I still think it's pretty bad. It's just scummy.
All right, well, here's the details.
It's not great. It's and like all of those sort of get-rich-quick kind of industries that pop up, the bottom's already starting to fall out of it, and it's going to continue to fall out.
What happened last year is he started buying dumbbells, hair clippers, because you had gyms and hair salons were closing. By summer, of course, above-ground swimming pools were hot. There was a spillover effect. The teenager had to start renting warehouse space because his family's two-car garage was stuffed. So then he started getting Sony's PlayStation 5, Microsoft's Xbox Series X, and S systems because people were buying video games more than ever. Most products go for around double the price. An Amazon spokesman said sellers set their own product prices in its store and that it has policies to help ensure sellers are pricing their products competitively. So he says in the article, at first, he didn't need to use any sly tactics to amass a console stockpile. Listen to this. He pre-ordered 10 from Target's website in September with a debit card. He used his own savings. He said, he's quoted in the story saying, look, it was public knowledge, but most people weren't starting to look that early. Target did not respond. So basically, they were coming out. He bought them. And then he turned to the online resale community, and that's how he found items that were still in demand. And it's funny because every time they highlight something...
Perfectly normal for a 16-year-old.
Well, you know, I mean...
$5,000 in savings that he can just blow with a debit card to get a bunch of places.
So here's the responses from people like you.
Clearly,
maybe this
he's your
you.
Average high schooler.
How the hell can you justify charging $1,500 for a $500 PS5? And you should really be ashamed of yourself. By the way, he didn't end up selling. He tried to sell it for $1,500, didn't attract any buyers. So a lot of this is market-based. Retailers can be an asset, too. Listen to this. Max befriended somebody at Walmart near his home last summer while shopping for an above-ground pool. I asked him, and those things were
hot. But not
hot.
For but not
those
for
things
himself,
were hot
of
last
course.
Year. No,
not
well,
for himself.
No, probably
to
not.
To sell for double, yeah.
I asked him if I could get...
Shopping. Saying that he was there shopping for an above-ground pool implies that he wanted an above-ground pool.
Well, look, I mean, I don't have any problem with this. I asked him if I could get his Snapchat to let me know if other pools came in.
He's got an
sold
inside
them,
man.
So these were $300 items. He helped them buy three of those, so it's about $900. He sold them for about $1,000 a piece, so he made a pretty good profit on that.
Now let me ask you this. You say you don't have a problem. You know, first they came for the trade unionists, and then they came for me, and no one was left to speak out for me. How do you feel when it's concert tickets? Something you care about. You don't care about sneakers. You don't care about video game consoles. But about when people are scalping tickets like crazy?
I'm a supply and demand guy because I think in this particular situation, there's two ways to go with this. And I remember hearing stories about the above ground pools. Can't get a pool. If you don't have a pool, they were all closed. Need an above ground pool to keep the kids happy, right? So you can't find them. So there's two choices. I'm a parent. I've got a load full of kids from the neighborhood. I don't get an above ground pool. That's one option, right? They're sold out. Or I pay a premium because I want an above-ground pool. If people, the market's going to set the price. If people are willing to pay that, that's capitalism. Now, in his case, he tried to get a little bit too high of a price for some of the items. People didn't bite. That's like when you put things on eBay and you say, oh, tickets for the, you know, for the Cardinals game against the Giants are going for $15,000. No, I mean, that's
about Coligard. Oh. Now it's time to speak up.
There.
Hang on. I'm on a
stupid
website to get these stories.
Oh, for once that wasn't me.
No, it was me.
For once that wasn't me.
The stupid audio.
Yeah, I want to hear the end of that one.
But no, I mean, I don't even know what I was saying at that point.
No, you were saying, I think you find people that will try to sell things for way above what they're going for.
That doesn't mean people are paying.
Right,
that. Just because you hear in a news story that prices are as high as $10,000 a ticket. That doesn't mean
as high
that the
as $10,000, then they average $200.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. So, look, are there some things about this that are somewhat questionable? Maybe, but this kid's 16 years old. He's busted his ass, and he made $110,000 last year.
But you get what I'm saying when I say that he probably didn't start from the bottom to begin with.
No, he saw something happening. Now it
he had $5,000 in savings.
It doesn't mention whether his parents, his dad said, look, here's an idea to make some money during the pandemic, but good for him. I think it's an impressive story because he used his smarts, the money that he had, the ability to create. And by the way, he created business relationships.
Sure.
He did. He went to the Walmart.
Going
to
get some poor Walmart guy fired because he's giving a scalper insider information.
Well, no, he got to know the UPS driver and the FedEx guy. So he had a lot of success. Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to be in the same position, well, not as that kid, but as the parent 5 or 6 years down the road when my kids want the PlayStation 6 or 7. And I'm going to have to spend two or three times, you know,
like,
what I should.
And they're like, Dad, can I dip into my $5,000 in personal savings?
Hopefully the market settles down by that time.
You know,
these allegations.
Wait, go ahead, Fred. Sorry.
I was just going to say, my kids have both left home, but they've left us with their PS3.
That's so outdated, right?
See what you can get for it.
But
see if you can scalp it. Take advantage
I'll
of some people during the pandemic.
I'll call this 16-year-old kid.
He's got two people that are working for him. He's paying two kids $15 an hour. $15 an hour because he's got so much work. All right, now for this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Sue's out today. She'll be back tomorrow, though. She's enjoyed an entire week off, which is great.
I'm still sorry.
Jealous.
I'm still mad about that stupid kid. Anyway, emos in better news.
You're really angry about that.
I just think it's scummy. I think it's scummy. I think it's taking advantage of people. And I get it. It's capitalism. And look, the way that capitalism is set up, y'all got to get your nut when you can get it, right? You all got to take advantage of the system. If you see an opening, you got to get in there and you got to make
that.
That's
what he did.
You got to get that back.
He's not forcing anyone to pay those prices, though.
He's not.
But Andrew, going back to your, I feel like I'm going to have to play the intro to the Suze News again. Back to your concert ticket deal, right? There have been artists out there that have busted up the rings to a certain extent because they require, you know, maybe you have to have an ID if you pick up your tickets, things along those lines. But if I'm someone that wants to be in the first 20 rows of a concert and I'm willing to pay $1,000 a ticket, just as an example, then why shouldn't I be able to do that? And well, by the way, well, Ticketmaster, they all do this now. They realize that those of us who are upselling our tickets, they do it now. The Cardinals do it. Ticketmaster, they all say, okay, these are premium tickets. And if people are willing to pay for
it's very anti-consumer. I'm not a fan of it at all.
All right. Suze News.
but there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing illegal about it.
I think it's pro-consumer. It's helping us get the things we want.
But you understand. Never mind. I'm not gonna. I'm just feeding
like
into
we're
it.
We're going in circles here.
I know. Emo's is going to start delivering nationwide shipping. So, like, you can get an Emo's pizza shipped frozen to you anywhere in the country.
Why would someone elsewhere in the country want Provel cheese? Did that question get addressed?
It's expats. It's people who used to live here and then don't anymore. For example, there's a great little restaurant. I think it's called Katie's in New Orleans that is run by St. Louis people, and they have they make emo style pizza down there, and it's hugely popular because it's the only place in that whole area where you can get, if you've been to St. Louis and you've had St. Louis pizza, or you are from St. Louis and you like St. Louis pizza.
It's the only place in New Orleans you can get that nasty Provel cheese. That's
How
amazing.
How dare you? How dare you?
Do you know,
not a Provel guy.
Really?
Not an Emo's guy. No.
Shocked to learn that.
Big problem. I've never really loved that pizza. There's a lot of pizza I like, but not the Emo's.
You wouldn't get along with Simone Biles. She is already missing Emo's, reportedly, after having spent her short amount of time here during the Olympic qualifiers. Now she's off, and she developed a taste for it while she was here.
She wants it in Houston.
It's like anything else, right? Some people are going to like different flavors. Some people aren't. I do think, to a certain extent, Dave, you and I over the years have gotten into it with people about Booch's and Shakespeare's in Columbia. Now, there is a novelty about those places, too. Like Emo's.
What's the novelty of those places?
Well, okay. The food at Booch's, which is a pool hall, is it overrated? Yeah, it's not great food, but it's the experience.
It's an institution in Columbia.
Right. It's just something that people do. Shakespeare's, I think, is very good pizza. Some people might not like the taste. But there's something to going to Shakespeare's and ordering and seeing how they make the pizza and the dough and the windows. Fred, you've seen
too. Oh, yeah. I'm that way about Heidelberg.
That's a good one too.
That's a great place to go. Yeah.
But when it comes to Emo's, like, is it the worst pizza on the planet? No, it is not. It's not my go-to. But Klein, you like it?
I do. All right. I really do.
I like it a lot. I also like the Emo salad dressing.
I do like the Emo salad dressing.
Yeah, we send it to friends in different cities.
And let me tell you what, they put that Provel cheese on top of the salad. Oh, Emo salads.
See, that's okay.
Emo salads are top tier.
On the salad, it's okay. Like an Italian salad, the Provel. Yeah. Fine with that.
You just don't like it burnt.
That might be it. Okay. Dave. That might be it.
So this is kind of an interesting story. It's a little dark, so bear with me here. But this Iranian filmmaker, have you guys seen this story, who was murdered and dismembered by his parents?
No.
Whoa.
Because they said that he was morally corrupt. And when they found in a trash can, they found this guy's remains, and they immediately went and knocked on his elderly parents, and they were like, we're so sorry we found your son. And they're like, yeah, we killed him. We killed him. We poisoned him, and then we stabbed him to death and smothered him, and then we chopped him up and threw him out. Because they said they were totally remorseless.
Was he dead enough after the poisoning?
Right. And they said he was morally corrupt. And they were like, we did it in the name of...
With the films he was making?
But the interesting, just in the way he was acting in general, but the interesting thing about this, they also killed their son-in-law. For a slightly better reason, they say he was beating their daughter, so they killed him. But they immediately confessed to both. But the interesting thing about it, they're facing the death penalty for killing the son-in-law, but they are not facing that much penalty for killing their own son, because under Iranian law, fathers and grandfathers are exempt in killings of their own children.
What?
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that the
interesting is one word?
Strangest law.
Mean, good Lord.
Legal dismemberment.
Yeah, like it's okay. It's okay, you know, when your sons are driving you crazy, you could just kill them.
I think we need to get Brad Young.
Seems a little
on.
Anti-family. I don't know.
A little bit.
Yeah. Also, I need to apologize to Dave Klein. I am, as Trump would say, I am fake news.
What happened now?
I told you that goal. I had seen reported that the goalie Matisse Kivinix,
the Blue Jackets goalie, 24 years old, just died. Over the weekend.
Fireworks, right?
Well, the story that I had seen reported was that he was trying to run from a fireworks accident, slipped on wet concrete, and cracked his head, and that is how he passed away. No, unfortunately, he was there at a coach's house. First of all, the coach had a party, and he and another teammate were there.
Like a mortar went off, right?
And a mortar-style firework went off, and that he was trying to get out of the way, and he was hit by the firework, which then exploded. It damaged his heart and his lungs. And
that's terrible. Yikes.
Accidental death. But I wanted to apologize. That's a new break in the story. Is
yeah,
that he was
I
at
just
the coach's
thought it was
house
the concrete and, version there.
Yeah. Did you see that reported as well?
Right.
Yeah, CNN says that that's not the case. It was actually he was
and
hit
when
by
when you
firework.
Told me he hit the back of his head, that kind of just... brought back all sorts of PTSD for me, Mark.
Well, Dave's known to fall out of golf carts.
And smack the back of
my head. At one point,
head.
I think we called him Zipperhead. What did Jane call you,
Zipperhead? That was Jane's affectionate nickname for me, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, the thing about, I love fireworks so much, and I've told this story. I used to ride my bike from Baldwin to the stands, and I'd take them up to Chicago, and we had a group of kids who, we lived next to a cop, and there was a high school across from us. So we did this adult-supervised fireworks show. And a lot, you know, I mentioned the shows in my neighborhood, but when some people were just setting them off the other night when my daughter was there, it just scares the hell out of me because I've seen things go bad. And I mentioned this story about the dog in, remember that story, Dave, about the dog that tried to jump on the fireworks in South City? And then he ended up, the dog was just worried that his, you know, his owner, Tim, was going to get hurt, I think, but then ended up knocking the firework over where it was pointed toward a crowd of people. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but I guess maybe it's just my old age. I get nervous about them because a lot of bad things happen.
Yeah.
And they set off a ton in the city. Klein and I used to both live in the city. It was worse than ever. What are you going to do about it? Then you have the bullets that are flying everywhere as well.
You guys fireworks guys? I'm just not really a fireworks guy.
I don't do it anymore. I used to be the guy that would buy them and set them off. I haven't done that in years. We would go up to... Is that the last story, by the way?
Sure, it can be
okay.
The last story.
We would vacation, as many, many people would, from St. Louis and still do in Door County, Wisconsin, which is up on the peninsula northeast of Green Bay. So be on the beach, buy a bunch of fireworks, end up there in the third, fourth week of July, set them off on the beach and have fun with it. But I think it's maybe I don't want to spend the money because these things do get expensive, but I am a little bit more cautious in my old age. Maybe it's because of my daughter. I don't know, but they scare the hell out of me at this point.
I became more of a fireworks guy as I moved to the county and had, like the more open space. In the city, it scared the hell out of me just because everything was just so close and so many trees and power lines. You think so many things can go wrong with this.
Well, there was a kid the other night who, and I've, as much as I've handled fireworks, I've probably only done this maybe once or twice, where you take a, what do you call those things? The things.
Roman candles?
Roman candle. Thank you, Dave. You saw my hand. So you basically hold, like I've usually done the safe thing. You put the Roman candle in the ground or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it goes off.
But what's the fun in that?
But if you, there's no fun in that. So there was a kid and he was a teenager the other night. This was just at a gathering down the street. And he had the thing in his hand, and he's, first of all, he was, at one point, this was pretty funny, because he was shooting them into the area of the common ground where there were depth charges everywhere set up for the later display, right? So the parents told the kid, hey, maybe don't do it in that direction. So he pointed it to the other area of the common ground, and at that point, he's firing this thing into the brush where, under ordinary situations, we would have had a wildfire in Fenton, but because there's been so much rain. But then... when the last shell comes out of the Roman candle, which you assume is the last shell, he moves the thing in the direction where he wasn't handling it. So, I mean, in my mind, hey, let's point that thing way away from people because if there's another shell in that deal, it's going to head right toward us. But that wasn't the safety that was being practiced. So those are the kind of things that make me nervous.
Three words for the young man. Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh, yeah, he did have a bit of a fireworks.
Blew off his finger.
He lost his finger.
He blew off most of his hand.
That's right.
Let's be careful out there. 425 97.1 FM Talk. Doug High is on deck.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Piggybacking on the fireworks discussion, I just had a friend that said, 2 years ago, my 38-year-old nephew, so not a kid, blew his hand off with a firework. He now has no hand. Now, these are kind of things to keep in mind sometimes when you're playing with fireworks.
Yeah, that's right. Fireworks, they just make me nervous, man.
And it's one of those things as I get older, too, and this is one of the reasons I quit in a wimpy fashion, quit riding my bike, because you keep hearing stories of people that are crashing and, you know, getting hurt or killed, and drivers don't like people in spandex on road bikes. I came to appreciate that after 10 years on the road. And I get it. I kind of do get it because a lot of the people that are, you know, on the road, they're not really paying attention to why drivers might hate you. I've been with guys before, and a lot of the cyclists are responsible and they do the right thing. But then there are the rogue ones that get in the middle of the intersections, do things that they want to do. And that's when usually some of us say, hey, that's why drivers don't like us. There was a story, I thought this was interesting, and I'm going to highlight it because these are the types of things that are happening behind the scenes now with the people that stormed the Capitol. So this is a story about the mother of someone named Bruno Cowa. This guy is 18 years old. He was there with his mom and dad on January 6th. He stormed the Capitol. He pushed a cop. He entered the Senate chamber with a baton after traveling to D.C. with his parents for the rally. He told a federal judge mom told a federal judge she felt stupid for buying into the former president's lies about mass voter fraud. So Elise Cua and her husband Joseph took their teenage son to D.C. for Stop the Steal. So we know what happened during that event on January 6th. The family members made their way to the Capitol. The younger Cua made his way inside. He shoved an officer, and this kid's 18 years old, in order to get in the Senate chamber. So he was arrested. I think he's been held since, maybe solitary confinement, because that's what's happening with some of the folks. Elise Cua, the mom, testified during the hearing last week that she had spent time feeling, quite frankly, just stupid for believing what I believe. Now, at this point, you have to ask yourself this question. Does the mom feel stupid here because her son's in prison and can't get out? Does her mom feel, or his mom feel stupid because she really feels that she should have known better? She says she felt ridiculous. Her son felt ridiculous for believing the former president's lies about voter fraud. So Bruno Kawa, or Kua, who is detained in Oklahoma City, has been in, he's been in government custody since last month. Federal judge in his home state of Georgia ruled that his parents were inappropriate guardians and that Kua should be held until trial. Joseph Kua testified during the hearing a day before that he was embarrassed that he and his family bought into the conspiracy theories about a stolen election. Mom testified that she was similarly embarrassed by her belief that the election was stolen from Trump. I'm asking just for mercy and forgiveness. We are prepared to do absolutely anything the court wants. So this woman is crying. She's sobbing before this federal judge. She wants the federal judge to send her son home until his trial. Now, that's an interesting question. Senator Lamping brought this up the other day. Mm-hmm. Based on everything that I just told you with this kid, parents bring him to the Capitol. He clearly did something wrong. He's going to pay for it. Should he still be in prison right now?
Probably not. I would send him home until the trial,
Dave,
frankly.
I'd send him home, too.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't seem, but a lot of these folks have not been sent home. They've been held. The judge in the case said he's going to review the evidence. He did not rule on whether Bruno Kua would remain detained. His attorneys argued that Trump had given his supporters an illegal and impossible task to stop Congress from certifying the election results. They wrote that Trump and his surrogates repeatedly sowed the seeds of distrust in the democratic institutions of this country, claiming that the presidential election had been stolen from him. So they're going in the complete opposite direction than the folks that were there on January 6th in trying to get this kid free. The lawyers say he was a sheltered and vulnerable teenager whose view of the outside world largely revolved around social media. There is a little bit more to this, though, and this may change your mind, and I'll get to that here in just a second. So he was writing some things, and this was under the Parler name. Remember when everyone was getting kicked off of Twitter? They came up with this Parler thing. Does anyone know if Parler still exists?
I don't think it's around anymore.
I don't think it is either. So he was Patriot Bruno, and after January 6th, he wrote, "The tree of liberty often has to be watered from the blood of tyrants, and the tree is thirsty."
Oh, I remember this kid.
"Now, we the people have a right to rise up and overthrow a tyrannical government." He wrote in another post that there will be no warning shot the next time the people rose up. He wrote on January 8th that everyone in Congress is a traitor to the people and deserves a public execution. So does that change your mind?
There's always a little cookie crumb trail right? on social media. Not right. a good thing.
But the other thing is that that kid doesn't know why he thinks that, right? That kid couldn't back up that belief if you pinned him down and said, "Tell me why you think this."
Maybe, maybe not,
he,
though.
He couldn't back that up. He's these kids, these lonely kids, they get swept up in this ideology and they start parroting things that they believe, that they hear, rather. And they start saying, like, yeah, you know, and that's why you see them hyperbolizing. Like, it's not that much different than, like, "Oh, my girlfriend broke up with me, so I'm going to drive my car off a cliff," or whatever. It's that same kind of, in my opinion, it's that same kind of teenage drama
but
behind it.
But in this case, maybe not, just because what they're saying, the U.S. attorney in this case says that in what I read you was after January 6th. So he posted that on the 7th and the 8th. But he also was someone who laid out, according to the prosecutors, very clearly what would happen in D.C. on January 6th. So the U.S. attorney says there are few other defendants who have stated their intentions so clearly and so knowingly on social media before showing up on January 6th. He knew exactly what was going to happen when the rest of us did not. So there was one post, Bruno Kua warned others not to bring firearms to D.C. because of the city's gun laws. Sounds like he's relatively informed. Bruno Kua was worried that, quote, patriots would be arrested under D.C. gun laws before they were able to take the Capitol by force. "Bring other weapons if you prefer, like pepper spray, tasers, baseball bats, whatever you want." Ooh. This is what he wrote on Parler days before the attack. "I don't know who needs to hear this, but they can't arrest all of us. Do not back down. Do not be discouraged. Show up and be ready to fight. This is really for our hashtag 1776. So, you know, what they say, and this would be another way to kind of address this, the U.S. attorney says, look, the parents knew exactly what was going on here. It's hard for me to believe that they didn't.
Oh, the
in
parents
this particular
did, for sure.
case.
Yeah.
Says his parents were fully aware that he was in possession of a weapon, fully aware that he was inside the building, fully aware that there was an altercation with a plainclothes officer, and they did nothing about it. They did nothing. So the U.S. attorney doesn't have empathy or sympathy because they're saying, look, mom's crying now. Mom knew what was going on. I mean, I can see how parents now are going to say, look, I was stupid. How could I have looked at this in another way? No, because their son is probably going to go to prison for a long time.
Like in a lot of these situations, I think the true blame lies with the parents. I think absolutely they knew exactly what was going on, and I think they willingly and helped and aided in putting their child in this bad situation. And yeah, he's probably going to go to jail for a long time now. And you know what? So should they.
But I don't think that ignorance is part of the equation here. It sounds to me like he knew a lot about what was going on. Maybe his parents were involved. But if you're 18 years old, I mean, we try kids in, well, we used to. We used to try kids
here
in the city of
St.
Louis.
I thought he was a little younger than that. Was
no,
he 18?
He's 18 now.
Oh, well, then there you go. Yeah, lock him up.
Right. Well, right. So he's
that's a bit different.
My point was going to be here in St. Louis.
I thought he was like 15.
Yeah, we used
I
to
apologize.
Try kids as adults if they were, you know, older, 17, 18 years old. He's 18.
No. Yeah,
I don't know if he
adult.
Was 18 when it happened, but if he was 17 or 18, it's right there in the
right.
in the vicinity.
Yeah, it's not, he mapped a lot of this out. He knew what he was doing.
I know some people don't want to look at this, but I've taken a pretty close look at some of the cases that the U.S. attorneys and the prosecutors are moving forward on some of these defendants, and it's pretty frightening. It's pretty harrowing when you see. Now, I said this last week on the roundtable, too. I think that there were plenty of people that were just there because they wanted to protest. Not unlike, I'll get myself into trouble here, not unlike the very fine people that were in, you know, Charlottesville, but they didn't intend on storming the Capitol. This is a kid that sounds like he was intent on storming the Capitol, unfortunately. It's 439, 97.1 FM Talk. Frank Cusumano coming up next. We'll talk about the Cardinals. Hey, they won a couple of games. Also, the NBA Finals. The Cardinals have been so bad, they've driven me to the NBA. That's how desperate I've become. Cusumano up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I had this dream that the Cardinals won a couple of games this weekend. Frank Cusumano, can you confirm that dream? Because most of the nighttime feelings about the Cardinals have been nightmares lately, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's a far-reaching dream, but you may be correct.
Yeah, they put a couple together, right, over the weekend. And Harrison Bader, look at that. He kind of got off to a rough start coming off the DL, but he had a hell of a weekend, Frank.
He did. He hit a couple of home runs, and he does have some pretty good power. There's no doubt about it. The guy's built well. He's got good bat speed. I would just like to see him make a little bit more contact, make a few more walks, because he does have the other tools, Mark. I'm not, you know, he could be a productive player. It's been 1,000 at-bats, but maybe there's something else to him.
Dave Klein is with me this afternoon. I don't know if you heard the rumor, but Mr. Klein is making his way back to the Mark Reardon Show, Frank Cusumano. How about that?
Well, that is a great addition. That's like the Cardinals picking up an all-star here at the all-star break.
it was a late-minute addition. But look, you had – when I'm watching the game on Friday night, and they managed to – I think that was the night where the grand slam
that was,
occurred,
yep.
Right? And, you know, every moment like that, Frank, in a season like this, you start to think – and I think I even heard Danny Mac and Brad Thompson talk about this. Maybe this is what the Cardinals need, that moment to shift things in the other direction. I don't think so.
No, I don't. And, Mark, I think this is a really fascinating stretch here for the Cardinals, because they have two more against San Francisco and then three against the Cubs, who've fallen off the face of the earth, and they've lost 10 straight. But this thing could go one of two ways in this five-game stretch. I mean, if they lose to the best team in baseball, the Giants, a couple in a row, and then they have some struggles with Chicago and they don't hit during these five games, I think there's a realistic chance that they can make a move at the All-Star break on the hitting coach. People who think they're going to fire the manager are drunk. People who think they're going to fire the president are drunk. There's no, that's not happening.
Yeah, no.
But if you figure this, Mark, they haven't hit in about 2.5 or 3 years, and that's how long the hitting coach has been here, then I think you could make a case for it. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think these five games at the All-Star break are very important to the hitting coach, Jeff Alpert's job security.
I just keep looking at the standings, and you see eight games, I guess they're nine games back right
nine.
Now.
Yeah.
And the, you know, I think the assumption would be, or would have been, that maybe the Brewers weren't going to pile up as many wins as they have. They're 51-35, well above 500. The Reds in second place, 44-40. The Cubs, 42-43. And the Cardinals sitting two games below 500 right now. But that was a nice win yesterday in San Francisco.
It really was. And you got the KK Kim, what you expected from what you saw last year. But, you know, that guy was not hit hard at all last year. And then last night he goes seven innings and allows three hits. But let me tell you the difference between the Brewers and the Cardinals. There's a couple differences. One is 40% of the Brewers' starting rotation is in the All-Star game. 40% of the Cardinals' proposed starting rotation is on the disabled list with Flaherty and Michaelis. When the Brewers have an injury like they had at first base, today they just picked up this Rowdy Tellez from the Blue Jays, who had a 21 home run season just a few years ago. So the Brewers are going all out. They know they have something special here. And I'm not advocating the Cardinals trading, you know, some of their top prospects for, you know, really good players to help them in the last couple of months. This thing may be unsalvageable for the rest of this season. I still like their future because, Mark, next year they're going to trot out of that starting rotation Dakota Hudson, Jack Flaherty, Alex Reyes. Hopefully they can convince Adam Wainwright. And all of a sudden, Mike Schilt's a whole lot smarter with that rotation.
Don't you think, Dave, don't you kind of think, too, that the fan base is smart enough to understand that? I mean, our fans are smart, so they don't want to give away too much to salvage a season that's pretty lost anyway. You'd agree with that,
Oh,
Clyde,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think it's weird that Frank brought up all those the pitchers that are on the DL currently. You kind of you almost forget what this rotation was supposed to look like at the beginning of the year.
So
it's
sad.
It looks so different now.
It is.
Frank, what I was going to ask is, I've been very critical, and I think a lot of people have, of, you know, Matt Carpenter in the past. And yesterday, you see him go out, hit that three-run triple in the seventh. So just when everyone
that's
thinks
happened
he's
a couple
down,
of times
it
too,
has, it Carp. Has. But just yeah. when everyone thinks he's down, like, oh, it's going to be Matt Carpenter. He's going to strike out or ground out or, you know, hit right into the shift. He goes out yesterday and does that, and you know, it kind of just raises your hopes again for what he's really capable of.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, too, because I think that I was the last of the Matt Carpenter defenders on radio and TV. And anytime I say anything nice about him on Twitter, I'll get 100, you know, you suck. You don't know anything you're talking about. I mean, it's the worst. It's unbelievable. He's such a lightning rod, but the guy's a great teammate, and he's been a great Cardinal. I mean, you've been to three All-Star games, and you have his career on base percentage like 370. But this Matt Carpenter now, this is my thought on this, is that Matt Carpenter, the perception is he's having a miserable season, and I can't deny it when you're below 200. The perception is that Tommy Edman is having a really good season. Well, you know who gets on base at a higher percentage? Matt Carpenter gets on base at a higher percentage than Tommy Edman.
That's interesting.
Who's everybody's favorite. You know, because Matt Carpenter draws walks, takes quality at-bats. Still got to get a lot better, but I like the way it's trending after a really brutal, you know, beginning.
Have you ever been to that ballpark in San Francisco? I've never been to that one. And it just looks awesome. You know, you saw the ships out there in the bay yesterday, and it was a little chilly there, actually, a little opposite of what they've been experiencing here in the Midwest.
Yeah, it's always cold. It's always packed. And the best part about it is you can smell those garlic French fries from like a half mile away, and they are really good.
How about those crowds, by the way, in Colorado over the weekend? I was kind of curious about that, and I think I answered my own question. But Friday and Saturday night, the one game, the Friday night game was the extra inning game. The fans were staying in their seats, sold out, but that's because of fireworks. So I was return.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, it was the return of Arenado, but they also had a fireworks display. But, man, they weren't leaving.
Yeah, and as much as we respect Nolan Arenado, I think it was about the fireworks.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Cusumano. So I have been driven, I mentioned this earlier, the Cardinals being so bad has driven me for the first time in a long, long time, I mean a long time, to the NBA finals or the NBA playoffs. And now the finals start tonight. I'm kind of into it. I spent 10 years in Milwaukee. I was there when George Karl was the coach, Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell on that team, Ray Allen. They came within one game of the Eastern Conference Finals, could not get past the 76ers. It was pretty fun watching the NBA at the beginning of the 2000s when I was up there. But this team, can they get it done in the NBA Finals against a guy, Chris Paul, who's never won a championship?
No, they can't. Phoenix is going to win. Yeah, I'm sorry. And what's also at stake is after Chris Paul wins his championship, there's going to be a great debate about who's the greatest little man to ever play the game. I mean, Nash is really good. It's the title holder right now is Isaiah Thomas. But if you look at Chris Paul's stats and then you add a title to this resume, you can start a real nice argument with Chris Paul and Isaiah Thomas is the greatest little man ever.
Oh, we're going to have to put a little something here on the line, I think. I don't think the Suns are going to win this. I like the Bucks in seven. A little wager, a little side wager here, Cusimano, on this.
So you're Crown Candy close. Milkshake?
That sounds good to me.
That's good.
Crown Candy Milkshake's on the line. If the Bucks win, you owe me. If the Suns win, I owe you. Doesn't matter if it's five games or four games or seven, but I'm saying seven games. Is that a deal? We have a deal. We have a handshake,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are on. Yes, sir.
Good enough. It's interesting, though, because I'm finally excited, and both conferences have been pretty entertaining, and I've gotten into it. So I know Giannis is out tonight, though, right?
Well, he's just been moved up in the last hour to questionable. So it makes me think that they are really thinking long and hard. I say sit him and then let him go game two even if they lost the first two, Mark, in Phoenix, they could come back and win two in Milwaukee. So I would rest them.
All right. Frank Cusimano, you have a great night. We'll see what happens. We'll talk later in the week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mark.
All right. And Andrew, that's like the only sport. Have you been watching a lot? Because you even said a few months ago when we started to get to know each other that the NBA was really the only sport that you were paying attention to, right?
Yeah.
Dave, have you gotten involved in the NBA this year?
A little bit, yeah. I'm watching more of the Bucks just because of the Greek Freak, and my sister and her fiance live up in Milwaukee. So I mean, you get into it just because of that. Your little minor connection to the team.
The knock on the NBA, and whenever I tune into the NBA during the regular season, and I used to go to a lot of NBA games when I was in Milwaukee because we were the Bucks flagship station. And I had a lot of fun, but you know, you tune into the typical NBA game is pretty boring in the second quarter, the third quarter, and then it all comes down to that final 2 minutes. That's sort of the conventional wisdom knock on the NBA.
And no defense.
The other thing, right. Well, but the other thing about these guys is they're just so damn good. I think a lot of us like the college game because there's a lot of missed shots. You come down, not everyone can hit a three. It's a different game. I don't appreciate the style as much as I do college basketball. But given the nature of some of these matchups, and look, no matter what you think about, you know, Chris Paul, there's a guy that's put everything on the line in his sports. He's never won a championship. He's at maybe, I don't know if he's at peak performance, but he's an aging player, not unlike what we're seeing in baseball here with
36.
Yachty and Wainwright, right,
yeah.
That's still playing at the top of his game.
Yeah,
so,
he's playing incredible.
There is a sentimental feeling for Chris Paul to finally win a championship, but I'd like the Milwaukee Bucks. See, we're spoiled here in St. Louis. We've had parades in 1982, in 2006, and in 2011, right? And also in 2000. With the Rams.
That's correct.
And with
the
Blues 2 years ago. All right, so that's five parades in 50 years. Am I missing any?
Sounds about right.
The poor folks in my former city where my wife is from, they have not had a parade in 50 years, since 1974. So now they've had the Packers win up there, but they do the parades in Green Bay heading to Lambeau Field. So they've glommed on a bit in Milwaukee. But that's a long drought, so I'm hoping that might come to an end in the NBA Finals. 455, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.